to me good.
Yeah, great. And I'll ask you just to sort out your camera, if you could bring your lid down slightly.
Or just make it a little bit. Good.
Yeah, that would be great. It's never a dull moment with me. Lynn Marie, I tell you, stick with me. You'll have this laugh a minute in my life. What was I saying? Okay, so this is what's going to happen today. Peter is going to review for us the wonderful article that he just wrote regarding the benefits of in-person point holding and body electronics. So he'll revise that and then talk about the structure of the course and, again, the benefits of coming to Thailand to do the 1 or the 3 weeks. And then we'll take questions about anything that you have regarding the course itself, regarding Thailand, any consideration, any challenge, any blockage that you might be experiencing or thinking that you are experiencing. We want you to bring them up because we want you to come to Thailand. So yeah, it's your opportunity to ask away. I think I have one pre-submitted question. I just have to double check. So as the questions come up, just type away in the chat as you normally would, and then we'll get them asked at the appropriate time. So Peter, please, I'll hand it over to you to talk about your most recent article that you wrote, the advantages of in-person point holding.
Okay, so highlight me, spotlight, there we go. So hello everybody again. So basically, yes, you will, a lot of you know about the online the courses now and how they work. Apart from physical point holding, there's many other benefits of actually being in a group. And of course, this is, not everybody is ready for that, but it's good to talk about the differences so you know if it's for you. A lot of people like to do things alone at home, do their own time and don't have to interact with anybody, but obviously you do clear a lot by interacting with people. It's quite often it's people who press those buttons, as you may find out. If you look at all your traumas that you're releasing, it's all through people, isn't it? They don't happen by themselves. And you find different people have triggers. And this is a big thing that's very actually very useful. See, a lot of people try and avoid this, but actually, if you're doing point holding with this kind of healing, you want stuff to come up. If there's people there who are going to trigger you, that's fantastic. The important thing is not how to deal with it. If you're creating this space of unconditional love and non-judgment, you're welcoming everything, then it's all good. Somebody triggers a feeling, you welcome it, it comes out, and you find everybody is helpful. Everybody is helping your process somehow, and you're helping theirs. Interesting that when people do come together, there's often karmic ties. The people who are in the same group as you are not there by accident. However you got there, whatever decisions you're making and things, whoever is in that group in the end seems to be all tied together karmically. And there's people there who are going to actually bring things up in you, both positive and negative. And so the transformation is fast. There's great potential there for people who actually worked with before in past lives and this energy flowing. Also those who had problems in the past lives, they surface and transformation is increased for that reason. To many people, they see this as a problem. They don't like to interact with people because of this karmic stuff coming up. But actually, if it's handled right, it's really good because it's like you clear much faster, you grow faster, you solve these issues, everybody's then happy at the end and friendly again. Problems all solved. Everybody's grown. So first of all, it's understanding that you press most of your buttons by rubbing shoulders to humanity, not by sitting on your own somewhere on the mountaintop. Secondly, energy is increased when intention is combined. We've spoken about egregores before. Come together in a group, there's an egregore. You feel this to a degree when you do an online course because you're working on the same goal. If you're in the same room with the same intention, working intensely over the 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever it is, every day, energy really builds up between you. Your intention is amplified, the strong egregore is created, which again catapult the belief forward at a much higher rate. Things come up faster, you clear faster, the heat rises fast, kundalini's rising, it gets hotter, you're burning your fingers. Everything comes up fast. It's amplified just by being in a group that way. So it's a way of actually amplifying things just by being in a group and combining intentions. Of course, you've got me there as well. Although I can guide you from the distance, when I'm actually there looking in the iris, I can point things out to you, see what it looked like. So you'll get to know how to read irises because you'll see examples. You watch them change as well. You find this work, the eye changes pretty fast. You know, you look at the eye before point holding, look at it afterwards and it's already changing. That's how powerful this is. Usually I would change over a period of time. This way you get to see what's done. You know the session's finished because at the end of it, that lesion that was in the eye before has gone, already healing.
I think that's a really important point to reiterate, is that Peter does do a personal iris reading on all of you. Every time it's your turn to have your points held, he will be looking at in your iris and he will be identifying the key areas that need healing for you first. before moving on to the next part.
And obviously, if you look at it as well, you'll be able to see what I'm finding in the ice. You can do it too. So by the end of the course, you'll be an expert iridology as well. You'll be able to see things in irises. You know what they look like. It's not just by looking in a book anymore. You're actually seeing it live. I'm putting things out and you watch them changing. You see what lesions look like and how they heal. So you get a lot of experience. If you're interested in iridology, this is the fastest way to learn.
Yeah, so pack your magnifying glass in your luggage.
Maybe a little torch you can try and hit the eye and see more clearly. Not too strong torch, obviously, if you don't want to blame them.
No, but that is a magnificent piece, because that was one of the things that did fascinate me when I was doing it, is the fact that you've got Peter on hand looking at really where your key areas are, focusing right where the impact is needed, and literally being able to observe the changes for yourself. Yeah, that was really powerful.
This is useful because obviously you can pick the points as you do online by finding where they hurt. But obviously you're looking at the iris first, you know what you're looking for in the first place. You know which organs will have lesions, where the problem is going to be. Therefore, you already know which points you need to hold, where the main problem is. Sometimes it's very important, you know, because sometimes there's an important order of how you do things. Although you generally work from above, from below upwards, going at spleen and so on, sometimes you usually get too quickly and have to kind of bypass a few things. For example, when I treat people privately, they have impending heart attacks coming. You see light beam coming to the iris, you can see heart attacks getting really close. In that case, you do that first. We don't wait to go through anything else, you go straight to the heart. You know, you don't want to wait till they've had a heart attack before you get to it. You know, you can actually see it when things are coming as well, you see. There are signs of impending heart attacks, impending disease before they actually happen. As the veins are getting close to the iris, you can see all these things happening. There are signs of impending death as well. So it's good to know these, you can actually heal the important bits before it gets too bad. So there are times in actually when looking at the iris is going to save a life, because rather than simply work up through the normal order, you have to jump a few things to get to what's important at that time. So the iris will actually reveal what's really needed at that moment, what the person needs to do first. No, thankfully, you don't have many who are that bad. You know, you come to a course, you're probably not dying. You're just coming to kind of for your growth and so on. So it's not an issue, but it can be. It's good to know these things when you look at the iris, to know actually what to do first, so you're ready for any emergency situation. It also gives you a good sign of what's going to come up. For example, if there has been a heart attack before, then go through memory of it. If I look at an iris and I see this little vein has gone into the iris and it's going to already make been a heart attack, I know when those points are going to go through memory. So I'm ready for it. If a person seems to go through a heart attack, I know it's a memory. It's nothing to panic about. You check the pulse and it's normal, you know, it's just memory. So things like that are useful just so you don't panic. You can actually see what's going to come up. So you can see that actually when you do this work in person, this way you can get very intense. You do with very convicted with very serious problems, serious diseases, and you can watch more clearing. And that's where it's very useful to do the diagnosis here and can be there with you to go through the end of it to make sure it's complete. See the iris change, so you know that actually that impending disease is over. So although this is great for personal growth at home, when you're actually dealing with actually serious diseases, you want to make sure it is completed. And this is where the iridology and knowing what to look for becomes very useful. Another big thing about it is that one thing we don't do in the online version of the course is the spine and the cranial, simply because you can't beat your own spine. The cranial is something that's very intricate and delicate, and I want to make sure I'm there to guide it fully in person, simply because same points, but have to be done exactly right. I don't want anybody getting this wrong, so you end up with a lopsided head. There's a few points we do in the cranial, and it's very important to cranial work, because this is what actually gets the head to be an amplifier again. You see, when head is restored to its perfect configuration as an amplifier. You can amplify your thought power up to 10,000 times. So you want this to fully get your kind of spiritual and magical powers fully up to scratch. You have to get this amplifier working. And you also find that most of the early traumas before the sutures are closed are kind of stored in the cranial. All the emotional stuff is up there. And when you start shifting the head around, you know, it's you get to this really deep stuff. And this way it gets to the power amplification. You can watch the deeper issues we get for your spiritual power. But it's delicate. We have price points to do some inside the jaw, for instance, which has to be done in a certain place, three places at once, up in the cheekbone, back at the pterygoid plate, inside the jawbone. We get the precise points, it all changes. And this has to be precise. So I like to be there to actually guide people in person. We never do that part online, because they need to be sure that it's done properly. So there are certain things you need to be there in person for. Much else, but most indeed, anything else can be done online. As you're finding out now, the Chandali works over distance, the Palmets work over distance, I can guide you, it's all great. just these few extra points that with considering you're going to come to an in-person course, it's more intense. You're also giving more time to it because you're doing it every day for 1, 2, or 3 weeks. In that time, your power builds up, and because you're focusing it so much, you know, by the mid-week, you're already actually going much faster anyway. You're going to actually make huge breakthroughs on that. So it's good to feel intensive if you're making breakthroughs. It's good to have me guiding there personally. It was good to be in group energy, re-amplifying each other. So those are the main benefits of being on one of these courses, as different from doing it online.
And I think
that's great too, but this is a few extras.
I just want to share a couple of personal experiences, where it's particularly when we were doing the cranial work. Like you say, this is this particular piece you can only do in person. And this particular section really took me right back to the beginning of my life. And I remember actually I had such an intense session with one particular point that all of my death wishes that I'd had at the point of birth, like the fact that I didn't want to come into this life, I didn't want to live, I didn't want to be here. I remember I picked up Sam's knife and it was a blunt knife, everyone. It was a blunt knife. And I was literally like just reliving the fact that I didn't want to be here, and the noises that, oh gosh, and all of that had been held inside of me, and none of that would have come out if I had not pressed that point. And that was a really, really intense one, just reliving those and removing all of those death wishes. And I remember another point when we were doing the spine, there was a big crack. At one point, there was a big crack that went all the way down my spine. And I remember Sam saying, well, someone's just birthed a dragon. I was like, oh. And then there was another point where I was triggered. Again, this was a spinal point. I was actually point holding somebody else. Someone else's spine, and I was triggered so intensely by the three people in my group. I just remember being so paralyzed with anger because I was so worried that if I move, I'm going to hurt someone. And again, just being able to have that observation, the intensity of this emotion that I had been holding in, and I wouldn't have been able to have triggered that by myself. That had to have been done through other people. So the intensity of this in-person work is huge. Which point was that, Carrie? No idea. I had someone sticking their fingers. No, she was asking at the point with the cranium. I had someone sticking their fingers in my mouth. I don't know which point that was.
So we call it the galactus. It's actually 3 points you do at once. You go inside the mouth, you go up underneath the cheekbone, behind the jawbone, and push right back to what's called the pterygoid plate. So you've got your tip of the finger at 1 point, back of your finger inside the jaw, and the top of the finger up against the cheekbone. These three points at once, when they're all together, is what makes a big change. You know, it seems to affect all the sutures around here. So the whole head rearranges, basically. It's almost like doing the whole head through 3 points in one finger. Very intense.
Yes, it really, really is intense. And we've got a couple of people who are also experiencing not wanting to incarnate into this life. Hmm. So you never know what you're going to find.
It's a big one. Yes. This goes right back to the early stuff. You see, there's an order in which we suppress things. You know, in a baby, the sutures wide open. And so, you know, by the time we get 8 or 9, the sutures are closing and start to calcify. So actually it's very flexible at first. And the first traumas are stored in the head. You find that the head then affects the rump of the spine. And then the spine supplies nerve to the organs. So you actually work back in order. You work the organs first, you clear the spine, so you get the nerve supply back to the organs. And when you clear the head, it gets to actually the root of the spinal scoliosis as well. The whole spine finally realigns fully as when the head's done. Well, they can do individual lesions in the spine. When you do the head, the whole spine is fully aligned. It becomes perfect.
Yes. I'm just going back to literally the intensity of every single session and just how grateful I remember feeling at the end of every single session that was no longer with me.
Mm-hmm. So you're always glad to get a bit.
Yeah. Do you want to talk any more about the spine and cranium work and really what that can actually help to release? Because those are the two ones that you have to be in person for.
Exactly, yes. And basically it gets deeper cause. You see, with the organs, yes, they can heal by point holding, but sometimes if the nerve supply is restricted to that organ, it won't heal. And the nerve supply is restricted by the spine. So sometimes you can't complete the organ until you clear the spine as well, because you have to get the nerve supply through it. What happens if you've got injuries in the spine that calcifies? That calcification will actually close the gaps, so the nerves being restricted. So a lot of the problems are caused by lesions in the spine. So sometimes you have to get to the spine to actually get to the cause of a get a deeper roots of the rest of the thing so it can complete its healing. Then when there is a spinal scoliosis, you find the cause of that is actually in the cranium. And in cranial osteopathy, they say that cranial scoliosis precedes spinal scoliosis, which means if the head's distorted, the spine starts going out of shape. This is not the same as individual lesions, something's not out of place and calcified. It means the whole thing can be a little bit outlined, it'll be twisted the wrong way. You know, you have spines that are not straight, what we call scoliosis when it's curved wrongly. This all starts in the head. So naturally, as you go back to these layers, you get to the root of where the spine has gone wrong. Of course, when the spine's wrong, it puts so many things out, your balance is gone. You know, you might seem that one leg is short the other because the spine's twisted, and you know, then it affects the organs, affects your movement, so many things. And nearly everybody has got some problem in the spine without noticing it. They get so used to actually working in that way. And when you clear it, your movement suddenly so more free and balanced. It's amazing the difference. You know, you didn't know how good you could feel. When the energy is flying up the spine, kind of in your stand, there's no restriction or anything. There's such perfect energy that you feel alive for the first time.
And you have someone who returns quite regularly who comes for their annual facelift, is that right?
Some years ago. We did come many times, yes, but haven't seen him for a while now, but I've done it for a few years now. Some people like to come back and do it again because it feels so good. But obviously, the second time you do cranial, it's not as bad. I don't necessarily recommend people do cranial every year because you've cleared lifetimes of stuff in one go. It's not going to be there anymore. It's done. You're only going to have the backlog, you know, last year's resistance, if you've been resisting stuff to come out, you know. No, if you haven't been resisting, so it shouldn't be anymore. If you actually learn these principles and apply them, you don't build up any more resistance. You don't store any more problems. But if you have, then do it again, you get the rest of it out. The second time should be much easier because, you know, the first time you're clearing like your whole lifetime, the prenatal stuff and your genetic stuff, you know, your parents, there's so much coming out, you know, it only has to be done once basically to clear it out. And maybe now and then to a little top up to make sure it's still clear. I think it's all the same. With the body points, you know, obviously you do them as you need. Each time you cleared one thing, you find a different point next time as you clear different things. Cranial's the same points, so you don't need to keep doing it.
Yes, we've got someone saying that they felt like a superhero at the end of 2 weeks. I remember at the end of 3 weeks, I felt like a completely blank canvas. I was completely blank, and I remember not knowing people's names sometimes. But what it demonstrated to me was I'd cleared so much of the crap that it had created this blank canvas from which I could choose what I wanted to create and move forward with.
Exactly.
What do I want to fill these gaps with? And I made some very critical life decisions in those very first few days after the point holding course. And my life has catapulted in such a very different direction since, because I knew I had this opportunity that I didn't know if I was going to ever have again, where I had to really make some good life choices. And look at me now.
That's the important thing you go through. What you're changing so much is like, you know, you're going to change your life as well. You're different. Yes. You've learned something. You're no longer a victim. You know, you control your life, you make decisions and you change your life.
Yes, and I'd never felt that feeling ever of just being so, I can get to start again. What do I want? A couple of questions coming for the cranium. Shall I ask those now?
Carry on, yeah.
Sarah, I too did not want to incarnate and fought it all the way. Can I ask Peter the kinds of reasons this may be? Because I've been blocked when asking elsewhere and others say, well, you choose to incarnate. That is not a helpful answer. I have a lot of cranial work. Carrie, can you ask the reasons?
Well, basically, yes, we do choose, but that doesn't mean you're going to change your mind when you get there. You know, basically we choose everything and everything seems a good idea at the time. Remember that there's that film Magnificent Seven had the story where when they asked him why they did what they did, and he said, well, the reason the man jumped in the cactus seemed a good idea at the time. And it's like you make decisions, but then later when you come to it, you think, oh, maybe that wasn't a good idea. You might have had the good reasons coming into incarnation. You get there and go, oh, I don't like this. Of course, you're going to pull back. You suddenly see your parents, who your parents are, and the book stack carrying, and all the negativity that they're about to come into, and you're going to pull back. It's quite natural, happens quite a lot actually. So naturally, when you actually deal with these death wishes, you actually go into those first thoughts. And you remember you're going to go, well, like to incarnate and see when you first see your parents and feel what's going on in their minds. It's interesting when we actually do the cranial work and also really do the lower part of the spine, the sacroiliac joint, you actually release thought patterns of your mother and father at the time of conception. So it's not just at birth, already when you conceived, your soul's coming in. It's drawn into this vortex for these two people, and suddenly you feel all their thought patterns and what you're being drawn into. And that's the point you're going to panic and not like it. You saw a lot of people go through that on that particular session, either sacroiliac joint or the palate when we do the cranial. You go through those thought patterns of your mother and father conception. You remember why you didn't want to come in. And there's always good reason. It's because, like, you know, parents are never perfect. You come in and there's all this stuff going on there. You know you're going to have a hard time. You know, maybe they don't want you. They're just having like a bonk when the light's off and a power cut or whatever. And it's like they're not ready for you. They're in conflict. They feel, you know, pressurized that they're going to have a child now or whatever. There's so many conflicts in their minds that you pick up. You don't feel safe. You don't feel welcome. Although you might see all the emotional stuff, you might be abusive and you know it's going to be a hard time. Of course, you pull back. You don't want to go there. But also, there are even bigger reasons. Sometimes when you come into this incarnation, you've already worked out certain kind of patterns you're going to go through, you know, these life lessons. Yet then suddenly realize, oh no, this is going to be a really hard life. Well, these lessons are going to come up. Let's just run away. I don't really want to do them after all. Now I'm close to it. It's like it doesn't seem to look nice. So when you're in pure awareness, you can make any choice and there's no judgment. Nothing is real yet. You're not experiencing it, so it's quite distant. So the choice you make there, you don't necessarily know how they feel. You come into incarnation, suddenly, oh, now it feels real. It doesn't feel nice. So all our pains and everything we're created are not because we have got any bad karma, such as people often think. It's simply because pure awareness can play any game without judgment. Let's create this and see what it's like. You get there, oh, I don't like this. Let's not create it again. But actually, instead, people resist it and therefore do create it again. And this really gets stuck. So you come into incarnation, there's all this stuff, you know, you're going through, and you panic. Once you actually feel it, you don't like it. It's quite natural. So what you do in that point in holding, you go through those feelings, what you stored up. When it's released, you don't have to create those problems anymore. That's the thing. You have to welcome the feeling in order to actually discreate. Then the problems don't happen. When you first come into incarnation, you might be aware that all these problems are going to happen in life that you have to deal with. And nobody's taught you how to deal with it yet. That's a problem. You're born there. Nobody tells you how to deal with the dysfunctional parents. Nobody teaches you how to deal with the horrible teachers at school. You know, you learn this when you grow up. You go through that childhood first, not having the tools that you deal with life. So, of course, it's really hard to come into incarnation. There's lots of reasons why you want to turn back and not be there. The main thing to realize, though, is once you welcome those feelings, you can discreate it all. You don't do it as a child, but you can do it now. You see, those decisions are still with you. If you didn't want to come into incarnation, you're still busy seeing life now. Still holding to this pattern, it's going to be hard. You don't like it. Not fully here. Therefore, not actually fully expressing your power. When you actually release that and take control, discreate what you don't want and create what you want, you feel enthusiastic about being here again. You make your stand. You claim your place on the earth. You stand in your power. So it's all about actually having the tools to know how to deal with life.
I can definitely confirm that since clearing all of that, my life has changed very, very dramatically. And over the years, I see more and more how I am claiming my space and I'm actually doing what I came here to do rather than just not wanting to be. Lynn Marie, I also did not want to be here. I cried for 6 months from the moment I was born. Strange, because my mum basically skipped any labour and I was born in half an hour. It just slipped right out. But then I cried and cried after that for 6 months.
Well, the birth won't be easy, but it's like what's happened in between. See, the whole 9 months from the conception up to birth, it's like there's all kinds of stuff you pick up from your mother. And, you know, and maybe it was too fast as well. That can happen. You haven't had the experience of what it's like to be born. Didn't transition enough to actually, it was too much of a shock. Sometimes it's not always good to be fast. Suddenly out in this water, and by now it's a shock. And it's obviously the shock you're releasing at that time. But, you know, you don't know until you go back and experience it. When you're old points and you experience that, you'll remember what you're crying about. You release the grief and it's all out. But obviously, those first weeks of crying, this is your first experience of life. It actually conditions how you can see life from then on. And it's like, if that's how you come into life, it's not a good conditioning, is it? That's an important one to release. Reminds me of the old days. Remember the old days you used to like, pick up a baby and give it a slap to make it cry? That's your first impression of what life's going to be all about. Think about that one.
Oh, you mean when the baby's born?
Yeah, they used to be giving them a slap to make them cry, didn't they? That was a traditional thing, just doing actual lungs are working. Imagine that's your experience of life. This is what life's all about. Whack. Yeah, it's going to condition how you see life from there on.
And lots of memories of being in the incubator after I'd just been born and separated from my mother and blah, blah, blah,
separation
all that needing to come out.
Yeah. Sort of loneliness and separation going on. That's also a really bad starting experience.
Mm. And again, all released from the cranium work.
Mm.
Can it help with ALS?
It can help with everything. See, everything has a cause in the consciousness. And obviously some of it's nutritional too. There's some nutrients missing to stop the brain developing, stop certain nerve factors and developing. And so the nutrition and program as well as the point holding will actually correct everything. But you get nutrients in there as well as releasing the traumas, then everything rebuilds as it should be, and everything is functional.
Oh, sorry, just bringing myself off mute. Miriam, I'm dreaming of coming to Thailand. Sadly, there is only a small possibility that I will be strong enough to travel, partly due to severe muscular difficulties, plus inability to lift anything heavier than a melon. Pack lightly then, Miriam. A bit of a risk of muscular injury whilst travelling because of my jaw, unless I have a big improvement in the next few weeks. My concern, if I'm able to come, that I would be needing to ask people for help with physical things like lifting a lot, which might not be fair on the group. I don't want to ask, well, you'd be a perfect trigger then. Hey, Miriam, I don't want to ask for more help than I am. Notice the triggering that you've got right now, Miriam. I don't want to ask for more help than I'm able to give back to the group, as this would not be fair. So maybe I should wait till next year. Plus hoping I can heal all of this by myself at home, plus online. Maybe difficult without spinal work. However, I do feel a strong pull to come, plus be able to actually profoundly heal these disabilities.
Practically, I'd say wait till we do it. We're doing 1 week in July in Holland, so that'll be much easier for you to get to, so we can work on you then. But apart from that, as Carrie was saying, you can look at these very triggers there. This whole thing, you have to give tit for tat, it doesn't work that way. We all win to give, in order to receive. We're not trying to balance it out, it has to be equal all the time. First, understand that's when you really learn what we call exalted love. It's about gaining through giving. You don't give to get back, you give because the giving expands you. Therefore, you're not measuring, it has to be 50-50. Exalted love doesn't work that way. It's 100-nothing. Instead of exalted love, you give of yourself to stretch yourself and make yourself more. Everyday benefits. I'm not expecting anything back because I'm growing and expanding and making myself more by giving of my strengths, expanding them. That's not the same as giving away what I have. Giving of your strengths is a whole different thing. I'm not expecting anybody to give back equally. I'm encouraging them to give at their own level because they have to learn to give too, because it's actually expanding themselves. But you give your strengths, you don't have to try and match it with you. It's not about trying to equal, it's not being unfair, not feeling guilty if you can't do it. These are all issues you're going to have to look at and release. This is all past conditioning, where people put pressure on you saying, you know, selfish, you're lazy, you can't do this, or this shame dumped on you. This has to be released too. So, you know, you can start working that straight away. You know, you're aware of that. Release all those emotions. There's really nothing expected of you. You're going to do your best, that's all. And when you give, you expand. When people give to you, they expand. Therefore, they're grateful that they can give to you. See what I mean? It's not the same as actually taking. It's not the same thing. Everybody's giving all their strengths to become more. If I give my best unconditional love, I'm not only healing you, I'm healing myself. I'm expanding myself. If I'm holding a space of enthusiasm, I'm expanding me as well as everybody else around me. I'm benefiting. Nobody else can stop that from, you know, it doesn't stop me if somebody else can't give, it stops them. So therefore, I'm not too jealous if I give somebody more than they're giving back to me. It doesn't work that way. I encourage them to give as much as they can because it's good for them. I give as much as I can because it's good for me. It doesn't have to be 50-50. It doesn't have to come back. It's not about trying to be fair and have to balance the scales. This is all old conditioning that we don't need. Life isn't really like that. Just be willing to do your best. Whatever comes up, welcome it. If you feel guilty, welcome it and let it go. Remember that the guilt is only anger you don't forgive that I have right to have. You might be angry yourself because you can't give. Okay, welcome that. You release it. That's part of the problem. Maybe you'll heal by doing that. See how this works? All these physical weaknesses have emotions behind them. The very fact that you can't move physically, these emotions you're feeling about are all part of that condition. So feel the guilt, feel the things I can't do it, feel it won't be fair, I can't ask because I can't give back. These are all issues that you have to come up and release. You can start doing that right now. Now you're aware of it. It's already triggered you, but the thought of getting there might not be able to do it. So the process starts already, whether you get there or not. It's all about how you deal with it. But for the actual physical part of point holding, I'd say for you in that case, wait to July and come to Holland. It won't be as far for you. It won't be as long, and we can be a little more manageable. You've got more time to get yourself ready.
But just to confirm, when you go to Holland, you're doing endocrine glands only, is that correct?
For people who've done it before, I'll work on whatever you need to work on. We won't be doing cranial, but we can do spine points as well in that process.
I'll skip down to this one. As Miriam was brave, I too have problems travelling. I really want to go, but realistically, my pain levels have been so high I can't sleep on any other mattress but my own. I've not had a proper holiday since 2007, not got a passport anymore. Thailand may be too unrealistic, but next year, or Holland if in English, and getting a passport may not be impossible. I'm worried about sleeping with pain more than anything. I admit I use cannabis to help that. It's legal here in Thailand.
Yeah, but I'm not encouraging it because it's nothing else. Then we won't actually put you through your pain to heal it. Thing is, when you start working the body, it's going to be painful. You press all the painful points to elicit pain, so it comes up and your body will burn, you get kind of going in the heel. We push you through the pain now, the other end. Chances are you do it far better in the group because you won't put yourself through that. We will though. it's very loving, but it doesn't mean we hold back on the pain. You press where it hurts, raise the kundalini, encourage you to go right through it all. You'll go through the pain out the other end and heal, basically. So if you're afraid of pain, I'd say go for it. But don't go for the cannabis. That's numbing it out and not feeling it. I'd say come off the cannabis, feel the pain, go through it, and you'll go through it and heal. When you're ready, as there are layers, if you're not ready to feel the pain, first of all, because it's fear, you go through the fear first and so on. Just be willing to go through whatever you're feeling. Welcome it all. And when you're ready to feel the pain, you come along.
I was going to say something, but I won't. Can I come a day or two late? Is that possible?
It's possible. It's not ideal, but we can catch up on it. You know, you'll come into the group. See, this is where it's useful that you've done the online course first, because you know what you're doing. You can come straight into point holding and without so much loss. Before, when everything did at once, we had to learn everyone's long. If you missed a day, you'd kind of not know what you're doing. Having done the online course, at least you know what it's going to be about. We can put you straight in there. The point holding, we can kind of catch up the opposite in a way, so it's not the end of the world.
And obviously people, well, you arrive whenever you want to arrive, but starting on Monday the 8th, and then you can speak to me, Penelope, just to make sure that we can get you a very swift transition into Thailand, into Chiang Mai, and then straight into the course. So you're not having to figure out travel arrangements on your own. And then another question here. Can I join the Thailand course in person without having done the online course? I did do the last physical edition.
Okay, that's from Barbara. That's fine. If you've been on the course before, then at least you know what you're doing, so you can fit in. That's okay too.
So please, any other questions, do put them in the chat. Practical questions about Thailand, like what's it like to get on a Grab scooter? Sometimes it's interesting, as we've heard from my ordeal today.
Oh, it was worse when I first came to Thailand more than 20 years ago. I remember some of the taxis would be like a little wheelbarrow attached to the side of a motorbike. You sit in the wheelbarrow with others driving up the road, and that was a taxi.
Well, that's quite glamorous. Where did you get a taxi? On Kapanyang?
We called a taxi. It could be anything. It could be like a car with a taxi stuck in a piece of paper with money, and the windows all broken and sellotaped up. You know, everything really damaged and nothing roadworthy. But that was a taxi. Or it could come on a bike with a wheelbarrow stuck to the side. You could sit in. It could be anything.
Absolutely, it can. You might even get a scooter with a man with his two children on, because he's got to take them to school and you're just hopping on the back with them. Yeah. Like, we're not scaring anyone. Chiang Mai's a little bit more sophisticated.
You have choice, though. You don't have to get on one of those.
So,
real taxis as well around these days. There were some good cars as well, you know. The proper cars and all sorts.
Okay, so that's all the questions we've got at the moment. I'm just going to put this link back in. Here's some other copy link. There we go. Here's some other people talking about their memorable moments when they have come to the in-person point holding. Peter, what's the most memorable transformations that you've observed in people?
Oh, there were some very powerful physical ones. There was a guy who had a Harrington Wads, you know, the Harrington Wads are still. What's it when you're spine to hold it straight? When you've had a damage, they kind of put steel wads to pin it in place. Funny thing, the surgeon who actually put it there was also in the course. And so, you know, he was quite surprised when it vanished. this time we actually had to work on that spine for a total of 18 hours over 2 days. We hadn't finished, we came in the next day. It burned so much, it actually burned all the vinyl off the treatment bench. The last time we had the Sarge couches we're lying on. It got so hot, it actually molted the vinyl. And after the 18 hours of burning, the ones weren't there anymore. They'd gone. The surgeon who put them there was checking and couldn't believe they'd gone. You know, he was there, so he saw it.
And I remember in the course when I was there, someone reliving a heart attack. Well, not reliving a heart attack, obviously. No, you didn't have the heart attack.
That's why I say we know if we can read it in the eye, we know it's going to happen. We can be ready for it. We check his pulse and realize it's quite normal. It's only a memory. That's all he had to do these things. But he was going through all the symptoms. It looked like he was having a heart attack.
Yeah. That was very emotional, that one. Being able to observe someone releasing all of that.
He wasn't just the heart attack, he actually went through surgery with the actual memory of heart surgery when he felt the cut and everything.
I remember it was very, very emotional feeling, hearing someone releasing that. As in emotional, as in you really felt so grateful that someone is able to release something like that and that they've actually been holding that in. Yeah, I remember that one.
They're still there to release it. I mean, even with surgery, for instance, because under anaesthetic, you're storing all that pain. Sometimes at this point holding all the pain of the operation comes out, all the damage done by surgery has to be healed.
And I think the same guy couldn't move his jaw or something. He hadn't been able to move his jaw for years.
And then you did one session
and then all of a sudden there was just movement. It was something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah, the same guy, yeah. So obviously he had a lot of damage there. Thing is, we know when you've had surgery, you often cut nerve lines and things. When you go through the pain, you rebuild those nerve pathways.
Mm. Miriam, great to hear you say all that, Peter. Is a week long enough, though? I was thinking of waiting till you do a 2-week course. Are you likely to do that this year in Europe? There's no spinal work in Holland, or maybe 1 week is long enough to heal these muscular difficulties.
You go through something. What happens this week? It's like, although it's not a spinal week, we can do spine points if necessary, because it's for those who've been there before, we simply carry on where you left off, what you need. So we can do spine points. We don't do cranial on it, but we can do spine points in week one if we need to. So we'll do what you need. And 1 week is better than nothing, you know. It's like it's not so far to go to Holland for me. It's an hour's flight, basically. It's an easy one. So that's an easy one if you want to do it. But it's not as good as 2 weeks, but it's what we got. I haven't subscribed after that, but we'll obviously will at some point. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I've seen Peter's calendar for the year. It's not happening in 2023, I don't believe, unless something changes. Barbara, I remember someone who'd been abducted by aliens and they put things in his eyes, which the point holding removed. You could see them and then see that they had gone.
Oh, yeah. Interesting one. We are allowed to recognise some crystal implants in the brain. That shows little white circles in the medulla area. It was this guy who's always messing with aliens. It seemed to be his big obsession in life. He even made this play in London called E.T. the Musical Comedy. Everything was about aliens with him. And he kept being abducted. He used to fly a little plane. When he was up in the clouds, he used to suddenly lose half an hour or so because he kept being abducted. He'd come back. And next year, there'd be another implant in his brain. So he'd run out and out. Next year, he came back. There were four in a row. They're trying to make absolutely sure. So there's this game going on. You know, they put implants in and we'd run them out again. And he'd go to the memory. He would sort what they looked like and how it was done.
Only with Peter. Stefan, how are Thai customs about all the enzymes and minerals you have to bring to keep up with the nutrient saturation?
Well, you have to bring a few. They probably won't search your luggage for things like that. I mean, ordering them is difficult because if I order them in, I can't get enough already because they put a stop on it because it's like you have to have the right licensing thing. If I order supplements, I can get 2 or 3 bottles, for instance, no problem. So you can bring enough for yourself. That's not a problem.
Yeah, and there are ones that you can buy here in Thailand, probably not as good a quality as you'd be able to order where you are and bring them, but there are ones that you can get.
You can get the now plant enzymes at some of the chemists, but you know, I'd begin to be sure. If you get them and bring them with you, it's much better.
Yeah, definitely. And then question number two, do you plan to keep on doing these retreats for a couple more years in the future in Thailand if we can't make it this year?
I don't know where I'll be doing them yet, but I'll be doing somewhere. If it's working well, yes, we'll carry on doing more in Thailand. I might do in Europe as well.
What in-person points would be helpful for letting go?
They all are, because every single point you're holding, you're releasing something. And letting go, actually, the best way that is stored is actually large intestine. You get constipated because you can't let go. Basically, that is letting go. So intestine points are great for that.
I've never been to Thailand before, so could you also suggest things to do if we spend some extra time touring around? Absolutely, I bloody can.
There's an ancient reserve nearby. We can go for walks. It's beautiful.
Yeah, definitely you can make recommendations across the entire land of Thailand. I've been to Thailand multiple times. Obviously, I live here in Chiang Mai, so I can definitely make some wonderful recommendations to do locally around the city. And as Peter says, around the national park and Chiang Mai and its surrounding area. Chiang Mai area is actually huge. It covers hours and hours. Like you could drive for 4 hours. What's that?
All the beaches as well, beautiful sandy beaches with palm trees and clear blue water.
Not in Chiang Mai.
I work to get out to the sea for that, yeah.
Yeah, so the district of Chiang Mai lasts for, it's very large. You could drive for 4 hours and you're still in Chiang Mai. And there's beautiful mountains, beautiful nature reserves. So definitely make lots of recommendations here. But also if you wanted to take a short flight and you wanted to explore other parts of the country, like as Peter is describing, beaches and palm trees and coconuts and hammocks, I can certainly make many recommendations as well. You don't have to go all the way to the south. There's islands that you can visit and beaches that you can visit that are a lot closer. So you don't have to do a full day travel like I have done today. You could do it in a couple of hours. So yes, lots of travel recommendations I can make. Just to let me know what you want to experience. And that's what my plan. Huh?
And watch a Muay Thai fight.
And watch me fight Muay Thai. I'm being serious. I want to ask for a fight on the weekend prior to the course starting. So if anyone wants to come in early, then they can watch me fight. Or maybe at the end. No, I wouldn't do it at the end. I wouldn't be able to hold myself up in the ring. Could you imagine?
They can fix all your injuries afterwards.
Yeah. We did it before. Where is the course held in Thailand? It's in Chiang Mai. It's in a small village just outside of the city centre. The village is called Phong Noi. I've got a little information PDF. So anyone interested in joining, we will provide you with that PDF where I've given you information about the location of the course. I thought it started to rain. Information about where the course is being held, information about local things to do, travel, accommodations. You get all of that good stuff so that you can start planning a little bit before. Some great Tai Chi teachers have set up shop in Chiang Mai too. There's many great teachers for everything. So yes. Chiang Mai is a huge hub of variety for many, many things. So I do highly recommend if you do want to come, that you do come early or late, or leave late so that you can explore some of the wonderful things that is on offer around. Because Thailand, if you're going to do weird and wonderful things, this is the place to do it. Nearest international airport, Chiang Mai. You can fly direct into Chiang Mai, or you can fly into Bangkok and then just get a 1 hour transfer flight from Bangkok. You fly into Bangkok. I can't say it. Suvarnabhumi. Suvarnabhumi. I don't know how you say it. That begins with an S.
Yeah.
And then just get an internal connecting flight for 1 hour north to Chiang Mai. Or if you really want to be adventurous, and I highly recommend this too because it's so much fun, you can actually get the overnight train from Bangkok to Chiang Mai. It's definitely something to be experienced. If you've never peed through a hole on a moving train, that's what you get to do if you get the overnight train. You pee, and it just make sure you don't do it as you're about to pull into a station or pulling out from a station, because are the windows. It's like being in it. The windows are open. There's nothing to stop anyone looking at you peeing and watching you pee fall on the railway track. So just don't do that. Like I said, it's an adventure. Please do a lottery workshop, Peter, ASAP, so that we can all win and spend our winnings in Thailand.
Well, just for the manifestation workshop, so you can all manifest it if you want to. Doesn't have to be a lottery. That's very limited thinking.
Yeah, so the link to the recording, if we could have that put in the chat, that would be amazing for the manifestation workshop that happened yesterday. But also just to let you know some practicalities of the payments, that there is split payment opportunities for you. Peter, do you want to talk about that?
Yes, and it's okay if you were still paying afterwards as well, rather than actually paying beforehand. We can do like a over a few months or something, so even though only before the course, you can carry on paying a little bit afterwards, and we can be flexible with that. So that's not a problem.
Yeah. Keep the practical questions coming in. Oh, great. That the practical information has been added. Yeah. And if you've got any other practical information about Thailand, either how to get here, what to do whilst you're here, how to get from your hotel to the course, message me in MeWe and I'll be able to answer you. No question is a silly question. Thanks, Barbara. Thank you, my love.
Okay.
That's it for now. Yeah.
More questions? Yep. Okay.
I don't see anyone else typing.
Maybe it's fine, as long as you know what's happening now and you can think about it.
Now, the other thing to state as well is that you don't have to come for the full 3 weeks. Is that right, Peter?
One, you can do two, or you can do three. You can't do cranial lap during the first 2 weeks, but you can actually either do 1 week, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. But you have to do the first one before the last ones. See what I mean? Yeah.
Where are the accommodations? There are hotels literally 5-minute drive from the venue itself. I've listed a couple. You can also search for yourself and you can stay anywhere. You can stay in the city centre. You can stay in the village near where we will be doing the course. If you go to the city centre, then you would need to obviously make your way to the venue every day. If you drive a scooter, that's very easy to do. It's a 15-minute drive. Or you can order a scooter or you can order a taxi car. If there are a few of you in the city centre, then you could share the taxi car. I don't recommend, if you've never driven a scooter, it's not Koh Phangan.
No.
It's not easy and free and you know, all hippie vibes and everyone's love and light. This is a city. So if you've never driven a scooter, I do not recommend you learn to drive it here. No, absolutely not. But if you choose to stay in the village, then again, it's a very easy 5-minute ride on a taxi bike. No Uber, Grab is the Uber. That's the option. So you can either get a Grab bike or you can get a Grab car. If you get a Grab bike, it would take you like 3 minutes to get from the hotel to the venue, and it would cost you like, I don't know. I just drove for 20 minutes and it cost me 170 baht, which is
awkward.
Like £4, and that was for a 20-minute drive on a scooter. So a 3-minute drive on a scooter, 70 baht, like a pound,
yeah,
or something. there's also the Dragon Magic workshop afterwards. Yes, so if anyone wants to hang around after the point holding and then do the Dragon Magic too, that's going to be super exciting. Dates for the Dragon Magic.
Especially just as you're cranial done with your powers amplified, you know, that's when you really feel it.
Yeah. So the dates for the Dragon Magic, I do believe that's the 30th and the 31st of May, I think, off the top of my head.
Yeah.
And as I said, the venue is right on the border of the national park. So during the breaks, you can go for a wonderful walk in nature. You can sit in the gardens of where we will be. You can have a little wander around the village of where we will be. It's a very cute village. There's a temple right next to it. Any place to stay that is walking distance to the venue? Not that I'm aware. Yeah, it depends on how far you want to walk. You could search Airbnb, but I don't believe that there is something in direct walking distance. Not anywhere that you would want to stay. Let's put it like that. For those of you who have not been to Thailand, the standards can vary. And if you've never been to Thailand before and your standards aren't used to some of the standards, you will definitely want to stay in a hotel. I thought there was accommodation at the venue. No. I get actually on the information page, there's a video. There's a venue video where I show you the venue where we will be doing it. There is accommodation, but it's not for you. It's a bedroom and I'm sleeping in it. Is there a link to the information package? Yeah, it's just been given above.
There we go. Yeah.
Let's do it again. I think it is raining. Oh, no, it's the cicada bugs.
Oh, of course they are.
There we go. Yeah. And if you want, on your days off, if you want something wonderful and recreational to do, again, you can ask me and I can recommend some beautiful hikes. I can recommend some incredible temples for you to go and visit. Again, if you're in a group, you can all jump in the same car, or if you're happy to drive a scooter, you can go out and be fancy free. I can recommend incredible drives to do on a scooter if you are a proficient driver. Lots of things that you can do in and around the city of Chiang Mai. You can't fly anywhere though in a day. Yes, there's one day off in between each of the weeks. Oh, there's someone else a question about the structure. What is the breakdown of the 3 weeks?
Basically, you've got 6 days and you've got Sunday off. You're doing point holding every day, basically. We tend to do two long sessions. You've got lunch break in between, because a session with point holding can go on 2, 3, 4 hours. It depends on your process. You find that as you get on with the week, because you're going really deeply, you tend to quite long sessions. So you're doing 2 point holding sessions every day. So you swap over, you know, you get one done one day, then you go to the next person, so on. So you're basically doing 2 sessions of point holdings a day. First week's all about the body work, like we'd be doing on the online course, finding the glandular points. Second week, work on the spine, checking the whole spine for any little lesions and any calcifications to make sure it's all clear. And third week's cranial. It takes a whole, we take six, at least 5 days to a cranial. We like to have a bit extra time to make sure everything's complete. So, yeah, last week's all cranial work. So basically doing point holding every day. All day.
It's intensive. Mm. That's why it's called the intensive. Yeah. And then the evenings, you're recuperating generally and getting your energy levels back up ready for the next day.
We're providing raw food there as well.
Yeah. Something else. Could we please have the link to the deposit page? So those of you that are interested and you do want to come, you can pay your deposit now. And I get to see all of the information about the costs and the discounts that are available when you're booking. And if anyone does need any support with payment plans, then information is on the pages, but you can also talk to Peter. So link coming for the deposit page soon for you to be able to make your interest known. Is there anything else that, Sitika, is there anything else that you want or need to say about the practicalities of that side? I'll take that as a no.
Okay. Sorry, I just. yeah, I think you've pretty much covered everything.
Yeah,
I can't think of anything at the moment. Yeah. I think the just finding the payment link. I think it's on that the same page that the Thailand intensive information. The payment link is on that.
Okay,
great,
good. Yeah. If there are any more questions, you can always ask us, me or email me. We'll sort it out then.
Yeah. All right then. So we'll just wait for that link to go in the chat. Oh, is the same link you mean, Sitika? Is the one above?
Yeah, on the same page. Yeah.
Oh right. Sorry, my apologies. So the link is already there, everyone. And as I said to you before, please, no question is a silly question. If you've never come to Thailand before, I can appreciate it could be a daunting thing to do. So if you're wondering what on earth the food is like, or I don't know what the temperature is going to be, what is a cicada bug, will I get bitten by a snake in my sleep, if you've got any question like that, do let me know and I'll be able to help you, because obviously we've been here for a long time, we know what it's like to live here. Yeah, and if you've got any health questions, or can it help with this, would it help with that, then Peter is your person. Jabs. You don't need any proof.
Don't need them anymore. It's all free now.
Yeah, there are no restrictions coming into the country, no restrictions travelling around the country, no requirements for masks.
That's all gone.
Yeah, everything is free, as in free movement.
Yeah,
and we've not had anything like that for a while, a long time. What was it? What country was it that said you're not allowed to wear masks anymore? That's actually an offence to wear a mask.
I can't remember.
Sam was saying this morning.
Austria.
Yeah. It's now an offence to wear a mask.
Yeah.
In case you are a robber.
Exactly. I mean, you mentioned before this mosque thing, if you went into a bank wearing a mosque.
Yeah.
Now you have to wear, before you had to wear a mosque going to the bank, you would otherwise.
All right, everyone. Well, we hope to welcome you to the land of smiles. I will be there with a smile on my face. Mm. I guarantee that Peter will be smiling. So no requirement for PCR test or antigen test. No, nothing.
Nothing.
Nope. Free flow into the country. You don't need to do anything of such.
No.
Not for coming in internationally and not for traveling internally either. And Thailand is busy right now. There are lots of people coming on holiday and enjoying. Yeah. Mm. It's good. It's busy. Which is nice to see. Very, very nice to see. And it's bubbly and thriving. And I can even take you to this wonderful jazz cafe. I just love it. I can take you anywhere. Anything you want, let me know. I can probably do it.
Okay.
So, yes, thank you very much, everyone. We hope to welcome you to the land of smiles. Is English sidely spoken?
Oh, yeah. They speak English everywhere, you know, in the city.
I don't know what that means. But widely. I think it was probably meant to say widely spoken. English is very widely spoken. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And if not, Google Translator works a treat. So you've got no excuse. If you've got a smartphone, no excuse. They will understand you. You might not understand them, but they will understand you. Or you ask me. I might be able to translate for you. I don't know. We'll see. All right. So as I said, we hope to welcome you. Thank you so much to everybody for participating. Any questions, let us know in Niwi. Anyone listening to the recording, please, again, if you have a question that's not been answered, then put that in Niwi or message me or Peter directly. Thank you for confirming everything. I will look into the flight and contact you when I will be coming. Yes, Penelope.
Great. Okay.
We'd like to know when you are arriving. And then what I was thinking is when you confirm that you're coming, we'll create a WhatsApp group or something like that so that we can all keep into communication and know when people are arriving. I can help with any transfer issues or, you know, anything you've got like that. So we'll just keep everything internal in a little WhatsApp group and then we can all get excited together and then lots of easy communication whilst you're here. Let you know if Peter, do you need anyone to let you know if they're potentially interested or they definitely are interested?
It's always good to let me know so we get an idea of numbers and things, yeah.
Yeah, Lynn Marie makes a very good point. Yeah, Telegram is just as easy for me. Whatever. I don't mind what it goes on.
Yeah.
I've got them all. I've got them all. I'm not doing multiple, though. It's one group.
Yeah.
One group in one app. Mm. All right, everyone.
Okay.
We will conclude. Thank you so much.
Okay, see you all soon then. One place.
Have a wonderful. Bye. Yeah. Have a wonderful rest of your weekend. Take care, everybody.
Bye then. Bye. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.